This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. We cover a lot of different topics that impact Douglas County. And we also like to stay in contact with local lawmakers. We talked to State Senator David Brock Smith this morning. This afternoon, we have State Representative Court Boyce on with us. Thanks for being on today.
Kyle, thank you for having me on. Good day.
So I want to kind of start out where we were this morning in our segment with David Brock Smith, and I wanted to get your thoughts about his call for a special session of the legislature regarding Measure 110. What do you think?
You know, I'm solid on my absolute opposition and support of repealing ballot Measure 110. As citizens know, the entire process is not work. We're not getting rehabilitation. Overdoses, addictions, homelessness, certainly crime has gone up dramatically. And it's such a public safety, public health crisis. Why would we wait till February? So I'm in full support of State Rep Reschke and State Senator Brock Smith's proposal to the governor. Why even wait a few days? This is critical in my view, and I don't want to see minor fixes. I want to see a total repeal, a start over replacement, and I can talk more about that if you like, Kyle.
Well, yeah, I'm curious as well in the process, since the voters approved it and enacted it, are lawmakers able to repeal it, or do they have to send it back to the voters? What's your understanding of the procedures there?
No, we have the right to go in the legislature and say, you know, due to all the circumstances that I just outlined, we have the right to amend it, we have the right to repeal it, we have the right to replace it. Obviously, we're going to need to get the governor on board, and, you know, I remain somewhat optimistic there. The distribution of that money, Kyle, is a lot of times it goes to NGOs, non-government organizations. It goes to, nonprofits, et cetera. We want some of that money to come back to the district attorneys. We have got to get support for them. And, of course, law enforcement in general, when they arrest these people, they don't know where to take them. Is it to the emergency room? Is it to the jail? It is just Measure 110 has brought us enormous messes.
And for a piece of legislation to have such an impact in a short time, from what I understand about the statistics on overdoses, it was a real big shift very quickly.
Yeah, well, one day I think Portland had 8 overdose deaths. These people are refusing. What is it? I think it's accurate to say 85 to 90% refuse treatment. They're only looking for their next drug fix. And so what do? I mean, they hit homes. They hit businesses. Again, crime is just really, and it's not just Portland. We're seeing it in Salem. We're seeing it all throughout Oregon. So it's there's an emergency here. We need to respond and react very responsibly.
Now, with the calls in the past few days about that, about having a special session, what kind of reaction have you heard from your fellow Republicans and any Democrats you've interacted with?
You know, Oregon is fortunate. We have 25 Republican House reps. All of them are, and I brag about them because it's true. They are incredibly dedicated. They are hardworking. They have terrific staffs. They are determined to, Oregon's on a serious decline. We have serious problems that are quite diverse that we have got to pay attention to. At the same time, we have tremendous opportunities to fix this state and take advantage of some great economic things out there that are sitting dormant, unfortunately. And so putting people in place, the 13 Republican senators, if we can get control of the legislature, we can stop some of this these crazy bills and take advantage of those opportunities out there and bring Oregon back economically, safely, our schools. Our job, of course, is to do everything we possibly can to improve the the quality of life for everybody we represent.
With the Republicans not in the majority, though, are you seeing some interest from moderate Democrats or others about this idea of a special session?
You know, not to be pessimistic or even fatalistic, Kyle, but there aren't very many moderate Democrats. So yes, there are a half a dozen that in the House of 35 that I think have good hearts I can work with. But it's the Portland elite. It's the PDX radicals that control and have controlled Oregon for 40 years. We wonder why we're in this situation. That's why I went into the, you know, come out of retirement to do my job and be involved for my kids and grandkids. All of our kids and grandkids are counting on us to fix this, to overcome. And so we can't do that without a majority. We can keep pushing back. We can keep debating. We can keep walking out. And we will. We will fight to the bitter end. But again, I do see the governor turning a little bit. I'm gonna withhold judgment on any negativity and just rely on her common sense. Needs to become common again at Salem.
For the South Coast area, what have you heard from law enforcement about the situation there in regards to the impacts from Measure 110?
You know, you asked me what I'm hearing from the people, and they are aware. I didn't mean to overlook that answer, but yeah, the general citizens out there, they're counting on us. They see the homeless, they see the crime, they're experiencing it, unfortunately, and so we got to deal with that. When it comes to law enforcement, they need to be encouraged, they need to be supported, they need to be appreciated, they need to be reinforced, and if the Republicans get control, we'll prioritize our spending to recruitment, professionalism, training, the best in the West. That should be our goal. And it is the goal of a lot of our conservative House and Senate members. So, again, I want to give them strong support and keep them encouraged. And no early retirements. We need them and our district attorneys supported 100%. And that's not being done right now.
And I've heard some rumblings of some in law enforcement opting to retire early or move to some related type career just because of their frustration with the current situation. What have you heard?
You know, that was my point there. How do we encourage them to stay the course? Their professionalism, their training, their commitment. That we need to keep those people involved in law enforcement. The opposite or the adverse part of that is a lawless society. You see what's going on in Portland right now, and even Salem. Again, as I mentioned, we have a return to political violence. Lewis and Clark had to hide some of their statues to keep people from destroying them. And what did DAs do? How do they respond to this? It's not a career that a lot of attorneys want to go into and fight crime. So we had a couple bills that would have done exactly that in the 2023 full session, Kyle. Couldn't get a hearing, couldn't get a public hearing, couldn't get it out of committee. We need the gavels. That's not out of some power commitment, but an absolute commitment to serving the people and looking out for their best interests. So we'll get that support, and we only need to gain 5 seats in the House and 3 in the Senate.
Now, over here in Douglas County, a group of public officials, the county commissioners, the sheriff, and the district attorney, Rick Wiesenberg, all calling for the repeal of Measure 110. What have you heard from the district attorneys over there in Coos and Curry counties?
Well, no surprise, Douglas County made the right call, and the district attorneys, their staffs, or their lack of staff, they're all faced with the same issues. Who do I prosecute here? I got to pinpoint what's a perfect example. The guy that was let out of prison by the former Governor Brown went on and molested, assaulted 2 other women, they think he might have did 1 or 2 other murders. This is what the district attorneys are up against. They see things that are really tough personally, mentally, emotionally to deal with. So again, until we get them the support, The radicals from Portland are not going to do that. They go the opposite direction. We fight like heck to hit them with common sense logic and facts. And once in a while it works. Usually it does not. They've been in control for 40 years. Oregon is suffering.
We're going to take a break and switch topics, but stay with the State Representative Court Voice, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, we'll talk to the Chief Executive Officer of Sunrise Enterprises, Jim Wilson. And by the way, relating to the first half of our program today, Inside Douglas County on Thursday, we'll talk about the Measure 110 issue again with Sheriff John Hanlon and Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman. Now switching the topics for the second segment here with State Representative Court Boyce, I wanted to get your perspective of the fire season on the South Coast, how you felt things went over there, and the response from the fire officials to the fire situation there.
Well, thank you for that question, Kyle. The Forest Service and I were bitter enemies back in 2016-17. We had the Checo Bar fire. I really have seen them come a good distance. Now we're gonna keep the pressure on them. All the fires we had this year, at least the vast majority, of course, as you know, were lightning fires. One time we had 11 in Douglas County. Curry County had three major fires. If you look at the Smith River complex that came over the border, about 15% of that was in the southern part of Josephine and Curry counties. So I hold out hope. Again, I give Oregon Department of Forestry, our Forest Protective Associations, just a tremendous vote of confidence. I often say and have said over the years that they're the best in the West of the 14 states. And yet there's another example of funding mispriorities. We're not funding them as good as we should. I wanted to mention, too, though, that the team effort with the local firefighters, you know, the volunteer firemen, that 70% of those in the state of Oregon are volunteer firefighters. And so the local CFPA, or excuse me, the Forest Protective Associations, including Douglas and Coos Curry Forest Protectives, they have really properly, wisely been given some say in each and every fire throughout Oregon. And I'm just really grateful for that. And they have earned that respect.
Now, I know on the state level, it looked like some money was put into placing crews preemptively ahead of weather events where there was the possibility of fire, and giving some additional resources to the various departments, even providing some paid time for volunteer departments that were largely volunteer. Do you think doing some of those things, some of their preemptive work, made a difference?
Absolutely. Although recruiting, likewise, as you know, has been tough. Our volunteer firefighters are an aging community, and so they need all the help. Just like our public safety professionals, they need support, encouragement. They need funding. I certainly didn't mean to leave out the Oregon State Fire Marshal. All three of our county commission boards and senators, Representative Goodwin and Osborne, we've all developed good relationships with the firefighters, but the Oregon State Fire Marshal as well. They are very engaged. They are quick to respond. They are part of the team, and I certainly would not want to overlook them. And they are also quite generous in pinpointing responsible funding needed for our local firefighters. So, yes, it does make a difference.
Do you still have concerns, though, about the portion of the land that is federal land in the region and federal policy on timber management and its impacts on fires and what's done after them?
You know, that's part of the prevention, awareness, response, recovery, the whole thing. When you look at the habitat conservation plan, I testified both days in opposition to that on September 6th and 7th, the Oregon Department of Forestry. That's going to lock up half of the available marketable timber on state lands. It's just totally unacceptable. What it's going to do to small communities, it takes so much of our garden forest out of the mix. And the Elliott State Forest, you know, Coos County hasn't had a major fire, Kyle, in many years. In fact, the last one was 4 years ago. It was only 300 acres. So I hope that holds, and I'm very grateful for that fact, too. But the Elliott State Forest, instead of properly harvesting and keeping our communities and schools and public law enforcement supported, they'll lock that up. And then when it burns, they won't let us do the burn timber salvage. So I'm going to be fighting that tooth and nail in the next year with all the fires we had in Douglas County, that that timber that should be available to our local mills. It's just a shame when the citizens understand the level of waste, their timber assets that sit on the stump and then become sticks of dynamite for the next fire. We got to push back.
As you look towards the short session of the legislature early next year, what do you think the priorities should be?
You know, each of the 60 House members have two bills they can do. The Senate has two as well. So that's going to keep the number of bills responsibly and properly to a lower number. And we had 3,000 bills, and I had to vote in the full session. We all had to vote on 300 or so. I think it's the right number, give or take. So the two bills right now that I'm going to do, we just had a $5.6 billion kicker. Okay, that takes a lot of money to administer for the people to get it back if they put in for a tax credit on their 2022 returns. So why not have a tax reduction and save a ton of money there? For the working men and women in our state. And so that may be a bill that some of us are going to do. Another one is keep the men out of women's prison, out of women's bathrooms, out of women's sports. That probably is going to be my number one. I'm also looking for the possibility of education freedom, their freedom in education. So my staff's doing a lot of work on that. And I think the public schools need competition.
What about the committees that you're on currently? I know that may shift in the next session, but talk about some things going on in those areas.
Kyle, I'm really excited. Glad you asked that, too. We've been working with the governor's staff on House Bill 3414. You know, it passed with Republican support, the governor's bill, in the full session back in June, and passed by 6 votes over a lot of 1,000 friends supported legislators. It missed, as you probably recall, in the Senate by 1 vote. So we've made some amendments. We've worked very hard on that. That has the potential to be the largest housing development infrastructure bill in a long, long time. So I support the governor's bill on that. I'll be working full time through my housing and homeless committee, and I think we'll get that through the short session. I'm very optimistic on the ag, natural resources, water, land use. Just a lot of good things happening there. That's where the fire bills come in. That's where the forest management recovery and the entire process of improvement comes into play, and we're starting to get some better support on that, also in the governor's office and working across the aisle.
And as you look around on your schedule and all the things you have going on, is it being in the legislature, is it quite what you expected?
You know, I've worked very hard. My staff and I had to build key relationships, and that's really bearing some fruit. I've made a lot of friends. I've spent a lot of time up there over the years, so I had a little bit of advantage when I decided to throw my hat in the ring for this responsibility. But it's an important job. It's one that I don't take lightly. I seem to have the energy and the good health and, you know, the contacts and, again, the staff. And it's just been a wonderful learning process. And I'm just, you just see the decline in our country and our state. And it's just right where I need to be, and keep supporting the people that want to make a difference. And they're absolutely there, Kyle, for the right reasons.
All right, out of time for now. State Representative Court Boyce, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you again. Have a great day.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.